So, Salam Tanvir, I'm just to introduce you to everybody, you are Adnan's older brother, right?
Correct. 4 years older.
4 years older. Okay. You're definitely a big brother then. And Yusuf told me when I spoke to him that you are the one who coddled Yusuf. Like, Adnan didn't spoil him, but you did. So you're definitely the big brother.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So how old were you in 1999 when all of this was going down?
I was about 21 years old.
21. Were you in college or what were you doing? Working or?
I was in college and I was working at National Tire and Battery, no one knows.
Okay. But you were still living at the home, right? The family house where Adnan was.
Yeah,
living.
Basically what happened is that me and Yusuf shared a room because the deal was when our parents bought the house, that there was supposed to be a fourth bedroom in the basement that was the biggest room after my parents' room. So
okay.
I wanted that bedroom. So Adnan got the smallest room and I was going to share with Yusuf until they completed a bigger room downstairs.
Oh.
But then my mom had her daycare, so I never got the bigger room. So me and Yusuf always had two beds. You know, he had a bed and I had a bed. And Adnan had his own room.
Maybe that's why you guys were kind of close too then. That makes sense. Yeah, Yusuf told me about that too. So do you remember when Hay had disappeared? I mean, like, do you remember the time, like, as the investigation was ongoing, seeing it on TV or hearing about it, or did you ever talk about it with Adnan?
Me and Adnan talked about a lot of things, but, you know, girls is not something that we really talked about much. I think maybe because, you know, I was always at work or at school, not being in and out of the house.
Yeah.
And so...
But that's also a very busy thing. Like, none of us talk to our siblings about...
Just be like, stay in your lane.
Right,
like,
right.
Try to be a better example and hope they don't do the things. But, like,
you just look the other way.
Yeah, now he's got good grades. Because I saw how much trouble you got in for bad grades, so that's why he's got good grades.
He always got
good grades. But I remember, they remember, like, Kay's disappearance, and then my mom was like, oh, that's a girl Nan was dating, and this, and the other, and...
Did you sense anything from Adnan at the time when Hay had disappeared? Like, did he seem worried, upset? I mean, I know initially nobody, like even the kids at her school didn't realize something had gone wrong. It took about a week or so before people figured out.
Yeah, but I was so much in and out of the house that my interactions with Adnan was usually like, he wanted to, you know, if he wanted to go buy a pair of shoes, I can, like, somebody could buy a pair of shoes or something like that. Or she, like, one time I was outside National Tire and Battery and I saw this guy walking up the street. I was like, hey, that looks like my brother. And it wasn't. Adnan broke down on 695 somewhere and walked like the 4 miles up the fresh to my job. But
okay.
It's funny because it was like a summer day. But the main thing, first memory about the whole thing with Adnan and Hay was that after his disappearance was that one night Adnan got a phone call or something and he wanted to go run to Debbie's house or he wanted to give him a ride to Debbie's house or something like that. Whoever's house that they all gathered at, he wanted to ride there.
Okay. His friends were getting together.
Because they just found out that they found his body.
So you gave him a ride there?
He wound up running there. Because I was like, dude, just calm down, relax. So I was like, I wasn't sure. I don't think, we only had one car in the house at a time. So.
Oh, he ran there. He ran to their house. Is that what you're saying?
He took off his shoes. Yeah, he took off running to Debbie's house or wherever. Because I was just like, dude, just calm down.
Where did Debbie live? Did she go close by? Or where does she live?
Debbie's house or Stephanie's house they went to? It was whoever's house they went to that they all gathered at. They went to that. He went on to that house.
Oh, okay. So that must have been the night they found out.
She mad at me, telling me, why don't you take me? You take me. You know, this, that, and the other. And I was just like, dude, calm down. It's probably not her. And just, you know, just wait.
It sounds like he was pretty upset.
Yeah, he was very upset. And I was like, maybe you can find out, you know, school on Monday. I was just like, yeah. You know, my typical, you know, 21-year-old kid in my own universe, I was just like dismissing him, like, oh, well.
Right.
You know, you can, so he's not to go off running there.
So then, there's a lot said. It was talked about on Serial and also online and stuff about, like, the incident with the prom. And, you know, what happened there and that was something really traumatic. And even the state in their case really played that up. So do you remember that? And can you tell me, like, what actually happened?
Yeah, so fortunately, I wasn't home when this happened. Otherwise, I might have been able to, you know, talk my mom down. But basically, over the course of Adnan's relationship, my mom was trying to prove her case that you know, Don was dating this girl, and me and my dad just dismissed it. You know, I dismissed it as, you know, my mom's just whatever. She's probably talking to some girl. My dad probably dismissed it as, Adnan's got really good grades. You know, he comes to Mosul, does his thing, but there's no way he can maintain his grades and still have, you know, a girl and friend on the side or be engaging in those kind of activities.
Your dad didn't believe it.
Yeah. So basically they have gone, my parents would go, you know, my mom would be like, he is. My dad just like, no, he's probably not. And so finally what happens is that somehow my mom got one. Someone had come to me and told me, oh yeah, you know, Adnan's seeing this girl. And I said, okay, you know, I'll talk to him later. But then what happens is that someone must have said something to my mom. To my mom's friend, the auntie network, she probably found out that, oh, there's a prom and that, you know, Adnan's going to be at the prom.
Oh, so the auntie network. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, auntie network's faster than CNN and BBC. So
yeah.
Basically, someone must have told my mom that, oh, there's a prom going and Adnan's probably going. Like, one of Adnan's friends may have told their mother and their mother told my mother. And then, so basically, you know, my dad probably came home from work. He was just like, at that time, he was just like maybe 8 years old, 7, 8 years old. And my mom told my dad something effective. You don't believe me that he's seeing a girl? Let's go to the school and see what happens. So they went to the school, they used stuff in tow, and then they confronted Adnan there. And
so wait. Then you're saying that so the whole prom thing happened because your mom wanted to prove to your dad that she wasn't like crazy and that she was.
Yeah, exactly. That. It's not that Hay was in a figment of her imagination that, you know, what she was saying was actually happening, because over the course of the whole relationship, my mom was trying to prove to my dad and to me that, hey, he is dating someone. He is dating someone. And we're just like, no.
You weren't paying attention. And Yusuf, they took Yusuf with him to the prom?
Yusuf was in tow. And I think Yusuf was like hiding behind a car or something when Nan and my parents got an argument. So I wasn't there, but I always pictured like the Woodlawn parking lot, Yusuf hiding behind some little car. You know, like embarrassed or ashamed, or, you know, because his parents are making, you know, or like pulling Adnan out like that.
Do you know what happened when they got there? Did your dad actually get upset when he saw Adnan? Like, or did he? Because your dad seems, he's
my
really chill.
My dad tried to get like screaming and yelling. He was just probably like, my dad would like make you feel bad just by, you know,
looking at you.
My mom was more like, you idiot, the, you know, more, you know, vocal one saying whatever. And
yeah,
so that's basically what
happened. So Adnan argued with them. So Adnan saw them and then they had an argument, or what happened?
Yeah, and then Adnan, ironically, he brought his bike back. So my parents brought Adnan home and then Adnan took a bicycle back to Hayes.
He
took a bicycle back to the prom.
He drove his bike. Oh, because Hay was still there.
Yeah, so he just went, jumped on the bicycle, went right back. And what were my parents going to do? You know, he was like 17 years old at the time, 16, 17 years old. So like, he's going to go back.
Okay, and so that was kind of the end of that. Did Adnan tell you about it afterwards? How did you hear about that incident?
He had not told me. He's like, oh my God, you won't believe what they did and this, that, and the other. And I was just like, wow, Mom. I was like, that's a little overboard, you know, to show up at school. But I was like, you have to prove your point, you know. Back then, we didn't have digital cameras. Mom couldn't just be like, sneak up and take a picture. Here you go. Here's a picture of them. See, I told you.
Was Adnan like really embarrassed? Like, did he feel embarrassed in front of his friends, or was he angry, or was he loud? Like, what was his reaction generally? Was he like,
he was more embarrassed. He was an even tempered kid. Like, between the two of us, I was always the more person with more violent temper, but he was always even keeled. And so I think he was more embarrassed than anything else. I can only imagine, like, you know, my mom shows up in her scarf and my dad with his big beard, and they're just like, at the school, and people were like, why are his parents showing up? Like, other parents probably blend in as chaperones, but my parents, I don't think, were blending at the school prom.
They're not going to blend in.
I think it all happened outside. They didn't go inside. It was like, I don't know if they called him or how he got hold of them, but it all happened outside.
Yeah, I mean, it became kind of a school story. Like, the teachers knew, and everybody made a big to-do about it. I mean, like, I was amazed that the state made that kind of like this was like a big breaking point, right? Of Adnan and his forbidden love, and they really made a big thing out of it. And I remember hearing, I actually heard about it from my brother because he was laughing about it, and I was like, oh my God, you kids are crazy.
People don't realize like so much Islamophobia was there in 98. Like, people are like, oh, it was pre 9/11, because I was in Pakistan in the summer of 98.
Okay.
And so like 3 months of Adnan's relationship, I wasn't in the country. I was out of the country.
Okay.
And so I was in Pakistan for 3 months, and I remember these very clearly that they sent cruise missiles into Afghanistan to go get Osama the first time, right? So they sent cruise missiles over there. And the next day, they're like having jaluses in the street, burning effigies of Monica Lewinsky and, you know, rioting and all that stuff. So people could argue, oh, it was pre-9/11. There was no Islamophobia. But back then, there was still the first Twin Tower bombings, if they didn't take it down, they just put a U-Haul in there. And it was still prevalent. And so people argue. So I'm sure that in the minds of the jurors, they could argue that, oh, well, look, these parents, they're so hardcore Muslims.
The Taliban.
It's just, simple issue of, I can prove it to you. You want to see?
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's the first time I'm hearing that that is actually what happened, and it was just because your mom had to make a point. Well, it is what it is. So, I mean, tell me about the day the police came to talk to Adnan. Were you home?
Friday night, I was at work, and I had received, a warning saying, if you come late again, we're going to let you go. But so, basically, I was at work Friday night. They closed shop at, 8. I probably got home at, 9. As soon as I came through the door, it was my mom and Adnan both arguing their cases as to what happened. Adnan's like, the police came, this, that, and the other, and they talked to me and so on and so forth. And my mom, my dad didn't say much, but I think my dad was a little frustrated with Adnan, but even my mom was just like, who offers juice to the police? The police come to your house, you don't offer them any drinks.
Oh, are you saying Adnan offered them juice?
Like, Gilbert and Ritz are there, and he's just like, you guys want something to drink? Would you guys like a soda or juice or something? Can I offer you something to drink?
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Your dad said that or Adnan said that?
No, Adnan offered them a beverage, and either my dad or my mom, I think it was my mom, was just like, you don't offer them a drink. It's the freaking police.
Okay.
You murder. You don't offer them any drink.
Oh, man. That makes me so sad that Adnan is offering them a drink. I can't believe that. Okay, go ahead.
The basic thing is that, offer someone comes in your house, offer them whatever. And then our dad's worked, on environmental law enforcement for the past quarter century. So he's just like, what the heck? He's like, they just don't come for, to say hi. They're coming for something. And so that Friday night, everyone's like, my dad's, doing his own thing, but mom and Adnan are both arguing back and forth over, I told you, something like this could happen. That's why you don't get involved, with girls, and you can associate you and this, that, and the other, and, something happens, and,
Yeah, our community loves to react like that. We told you so. This is why you don't date. This is why you don't do stuff, because you're going
to... I worked at Baskin Robbins. I wasn't driving then, and if one of my coworkers would offer me a ride home, I'd be paranoid. Well, if something happened to her after she drives me home, they had to blame it on me.
Yeah.
Or something stupid like that. That's why we were raised, right? But so that Friday night, my mom and I were having their case going back and forth. And I was just like, I have to go to work tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So whatever. And then fast forward to Saturday, we just hung out, did our thing. Saturday night, kicked the nun out of our room. Denise, we're going to sleep. I think we watched The Thin Red Line or something at the movie theater. And then that's the last movie we watched, the three of us together. And then Sunday morning, I woke up to, probably it was McGilvory laughing in the room next door.
That's how you woke up? You heard the cop laughing?
Yeah, I heard someone laughing in the room next door. And I'm like, Dad, Abu wasn't home. He was out in Delaware with the TJs.
Yeah.
So
the TJs, okay. That's a group that he's with. It's a religious group that he is with, yeah. So, do you remember what time it was when you woke up? I remember the time.
It was probably around 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It was before the break of dawn. But basically, I heard laughter in the next room saying, who's not laughing now? Or bet you're not smiling now. And, I think I'm not asking if he put his clothes on, because I think he was sleeping in his boxers or whatever. And what happens that I tried to leave the room, and as soon as I tried to open my door, boom, there's a police officer in my face saying, you need to stay in the room.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't remember if it was a county or city police officer, because they came with 12 or 13 police cars. And they said you can't access the back of our house with the car, but they had police officers standing out back.
They actually surrounded the house?
Yeah. Because I guess if they were concerned that now it's going to run out the door, they won't be able to keep up with him, because he ran track, I guess. But they had a mix of, city and county police cars, so they came out and all out front. And so police officer let us out of the room. And the police officer let us out of the room. And then...
Did Yusuf wake up?
Yusuf woke up, and he was trying to figure out what was going on. And, he went back to sleep. We put him back to sleep, told him, be quiet, go back to sleep. He went back, he just sat there and whatever, and then...
Can I ask you, at that time, were you able to, were you just confused, what is going on? Did you realize that they've come for Adnan? Did you feel scared? What was going through your head?
Oh, I knew they came for Adnan. I was just thinking, what were the next steps? I was grateful that Abu wasn't home, because if my dad was home, he probably had, a heart attack or something.
Oh.
For him to see his son dragged out in chains, like, you know, on the handcuffs and everything, like, what that image would have done to him mentally. You know, like, he can't imagine that, honestly, living, you know, free of corruption in Pakistan, not, you know, seeing his son in chains. But, so basically, the police officer, the last thing, you know, the police officer, the Sergeant Lehman, he was the one that took the man out the door. And my mom asked him, like, aren't you going to read him his rights? And he goes, no, at the station. Because, you know, we always see on TV that, oh, they read your Miranda rights before they take you away and this, that, right. Matter. And I got his hoodie on or whatever, and he left. And then they basically, after they took him away, they, my mom was telling him, he'll be okay. We'll get you a lawyer and this, that, and the other, and everything will work out. And so Don left, and then...
Did Don say anything?
He said something to a lot. I don't remember, because, honestly, yeah, you had to ask my mom, because
okay.
He was out the door when Lehman had him.
Okay.
Like halfway out the door, halfway in the door. And then they left McGilvery behind. McGilvery stayed behind to make sure nobody would mess with the Accord.
Oh, nobody would mess with the car. Okay. They took the car the same day, right?
The very same day, right. I did get like, you know, my mom had gone to Halal Meat Store the night before, and there were like probably 15 pounds of chicken in the trunk. And
She told me there was groceries in the car she had to get, yeah.
So McGilvery watched me take the grocery bag out, the chicken out, and that was it. Then he was sleeping in the car while, you know, he's a little Cavalier. Well, and it was him in the county car, so he was sleeping in the Cavalier, and there was like a county police officer in front of him blocking the car in the driveway.
How long did they stay at the house after they took him away?
Like an hour and a half, 2 hours to get the tow truck to come out and get it.
Okay.
And the tow truck, I guess, we'll see.
So we're probably talking about 7 or 8 o'clock. At what point did you start looking for a lawyer? Like, what happened?
Well, the best thing is that, you know, when I'm encountered with all this stress, and my mom has all this stress, you know, happened, I went back to sleep.
Really?
I was like, you know what? Yeah, I was like, what I do whenever I have a problem? You know what? I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah.
I went back to sleep for a little bit, and my mom just cleaned the house. Like, she just tore around the house. And after an hour or two, I woke back up. I was like, well, let's go find a lawyer.
Okay.
And then, prior, the smart one would have been to go into downtown Baltimore to one of the blocks and be like, hey, well, who would you guys hire?
Right.
But instead, you know, I reached out to a community member. Probably should have reached out to Uncle Patel. It would have been a better start back then. But, you know, I probably put, you know, Uncle Patel is a very knowledgeable and very smart, wise person. I probably discounted that and thought that he was, like, you know, my dad, but, you know, smart guy, intelligent guy, but he's not as, you know, street savvy.
Yeah. Our dads don't know anything about this stuff.
Yeah, sort of more knowledgeable about, like, you know, Uncle Mustafa, like Uncle Jimmy Thomas, like those guys probably would have been able to navigate, you know, because they deal with all that, you know, government stuff better. But
can I ask you, when did you guys tell your dad that this happened?
When he came back from, nobody called him or anything. When he came back from Jumaat, you know, we sat him down and.
Was that a couple days later? Was that the same day?
Same day.
Okay.
Because he came back, it was like a weekend Jumaat. So he came back on Sunday night, and we're like, yeah, Dad, you got to sit down for a second. And he sat down, and he was in shock.
Oh. Was it hard for him?
Very hard.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's been hard for him all of these years.
I think my dad took the pride of hardness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know because... he wasn't even able to attend the trial. And I always thought, I know how that is, that it's just that he couldn't emotionally handle it. I never saw him there at least. Okay. Well, were you there when they came to search the house, by the way?
Yeah, that was really funny because, they show up like one Saturday afternoon. They were the police. We're here to search your house. Like many, many weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
And not arrested, and they're like, okay, don't you usually search the house when you come and take the person?
Or sooner, right?
But they come and they search the house, and they called Chris Floor, and he came, and they corralled us all in the living room, and they went through the house, they set up the mom's room, they went here, they went there, and that's they had the crime, the city crime lab guy was there. They got the cell phone from my parents. I think they got cell phone from my desk and my parents from that, like, while I was in your desk, we put it in our dresser drawer. We should have left it in our dresser drawer or something like that. And that was the end of that. They did their search and they just were like, you guys stay in this room. And they did that. You know, I think they had like 5 or 6 people with them.
Mm.
And they just basically searched this room.
Did the nun call you guys after he was arrested, like the same day? Did you hear from him?
I don't think we saw him till the next morning, like on the TV, in the courtroom, on the monitor when they first bailed him. You could tell he was crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
was that on a Saturday? They did that on a Saturday, the proceeding?
It was on Monday.
I'm sorry, yeah, Monday. You're right. It was Monday. I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah, the same thing. The police came. They were like, the news crews were like on the lawn. It was hilarious. News crews on the lawn. Like, most of the community found out because I think it was the like 5 o'clock news. They flashed a non sticker during the basketball game.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw it too. And my mom and I came to the house immediately. And I think you guys had turned off the lights. I mean, it makes sense. You just wanted privacy.
Oh, yeah. The camera can move across the street, and if you move like a blind, if you move one of the things, panels in the blind, you shoot the camera there. Like the cameraman was just watching the house for like any kind of movement.
That's got to be stressful. That's crazy. Awful. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm probably going to come back to you over, you know, the next couple of months every so often, have different questions. But for now, I just wanted to kind of get your sense of what you remember of that time. And, you know, if there's anything you want to add, you know, feel free.
The bail hearing was most of Muzzy showed up for his bail hearing.
Oh, the bail hearing, yeah. Well, you were there?
Yeah, I was there.
I wasn't there. So can I ask you something? Oh, yeah, one question I wanted to ask you. I mean, the bail hearing was probably kind of the first time you're hearing the state kind of make their case, although they don't actually make a case then. But at what point did you get a sense of, like, did you ever get a sense of, like, why they arrested him? Like, could you figure out, like, was, like, your mom still thinks, you know, it was discrimination, it was bigotry. Did you think they must have some, like, what did you think?
Hearing, like, the bail hearing was disgusting in that Vicky Wash was just like, Michael Scheinbein, like, I still remember that judge getting mad and saying, we're not having any of this. Be quiet. I told you guys to be quiet. Because for people who don't know, Michael Scheinbein slaughtered that guy in, was it PG County or Southern Maryland, mm-hmm. and hung him and burned him or whatever. And it was a huge story in the news that, you know, this kid did this and then he ran to Israel and got protection in Israel and wasn't reported back to the United States. So, and then Vicky Wash is like, oh, this pattern of Muslim guy, Pakistani guy is killing, you know, jilted girlfriends. I mean, that's stuff you don't, you know, you can hear that in the everyday, you know, drug dealers trial that, oh, this guy, you know, didn't reference their ethnicity and stuff like that.
Right. So were you, the community was kind of upset or shocked to hear them, her talk about the community like that?
Yeah. The whole, if you would listen to the tape, I'm sure you listen to the tape, but just the whole, when she drops Michael Scheinbein, everyone's like, ah. Like,
but she's comparing this to
how
them.
Did you pull Michael Scheinbein into this conversation? Like, because, you know, yeah, Michael Scheinbein did some, that
horrible.
What he did was just,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you know, ridiculous what he did, and then he escaped, you know, to Israel, and then the whole Chicago, oh, this Pakistani guy in Chicago killed this girl, so there's this pattern that these Pakistani, because of two cases, that, oh, and you saw where.
And Scheinbein was not Pakistani, Scheinbein was,
Right, and you see how like Doug got the state, the person, the representative of the State Department, just had makes Vicky apologize to the judge long after the fact that, oh, I misrepresented what they said.
Yeah.
And then do you remember the Indian guy, the prosecutor that was sitting in the back of our side that was always like laughing and snickering during trial?
No, there was somebody who snickered during the trial. I actually don't remember that because I usually sat towards the front, and when I did attend. I mean, for me and your mom, I mean, we were, like, just upset, obviously. It was a very sober thing.
Yeah.
So who was that?
I remember. It was some guy with the attorneys. Because remember there was the one guy that was, like, Skeletor? He was, like, the main, I don't know if he was the chief homicide guy or the chief homicide prosecutor. But they always meet up outside. It'd be, like, Casey Murphy, Urich, Vicky would still be there, even though she wasn't prosecuting the case, Skeletor, and this other dude, he looked like he was Indian. Like, okay. He was short, had glasses and goatee mustache. And sometimes he would sit on our side of the courtroom and just start laughing and snickering. And Judge Hurd would be like, stop it, stop it. What are you doing? No more laughter from that side or snickering from that side of the courtroom during people's testimonies. And I was like,
who is he?
How kind of dirty game is the state playing that?
That's so weird.
It's bad enough that you got the whole state's resources against the non, but now you have to have people like this so the jury can see that, oh, look, the foreign people, they're laughing at us.
Some Indian guy.
That's death.
That's really weird. I mean, when I'm going back and watching the videos, I mean, I see you, like you're like there almost every single day in the tape. I mean, we don't have all the days, but for the tapes I have almost all the time. And, every so often you see people from the community. It wasn't like tons of people that came. I do remember the day that the jury returned the verdict. It was a pretty packed courtroom. Yeah, and, what's that?
Litz brought his daughter and his whole family to come watch.
Really?
Yeah.
It was interesting because he had like a teenage daughter then or something like that. And they used to go to my dad. They came to me once and they were like, hey, you know, your dad never says hi to us. McGilvery, of course, because Ritz was the more professional one between the two of them. McGilvery was like, hey, your dad never says hi to us. And I'm like, looking at them like,
that's so mean. That is so mean.
Doesn't your dad realize it's nothing personal?
Wow.
And I just want to be like, are you guys detectives? Like, yeah. Are you guys freaking morons? Like,
no, that's mean-spirited. That's not, I mean, he knows that that's basically just trying to, you know, hurt somebody. That's so freaking, what a piece of crap.
Do you remember, like, how the Korean community bust into all the seniors?
Yeah, I remember.
That was crazy. But, yeah, so the Don Bale hearing was just, like, nuts because the whole Muzzy came out and everything. And then, and, you know, so many people put up their, like, we'll put it in the ad, like, so many houses that were paid off, people were willing to put up.
Six houses.
Like, I'll turn myself in if I come to court. And,
Well, I did not realize about the whole laughing, snickering thing. I actually don't remember. I mean, but, you know, I was very zoned out. When I would be there, I was very zoned out. And a number of times I remember taking my aunt who was visiting us, and my aunt, I remember this happening one time specifically. My aunt took she had a prayer book, like, and she would sit there and she'd be like, I'm going to pray as the trial's going on. And she would just be like, kind of whispering her prayers, reading. And I remember one time the judge was like, you need to shut up or stop whatever you're doing or get out or put that thing away. And that's all I remember. But I was kind of shocked. I mean, I was just kind of like in the twilight zone. Because I just couldn't believe what was going on. And also, I was just freaked out because of Gutierrez. I'm like, what is happening here? Because I thought it was...
Yeah, I know. I remember you trying to talk to her, and she was just like, I was like, wow.
Did you ever ask Gutierrez questions about, like, the trial or the case or anything?
No, I was just like, hey, my parents paid you a lot of money. You're supposed to be the pro.
Right.
I don't ask the brain surgeon, you know, hey, exactly how does that neuron work with that neuron or the heart surgeon? And I was like, she's the pro.
Who knows what she's doing?
I ask the mechanic questions if I want to understand something about a car because that's something simple. But you think that, you know, because I was really surprised. My mom was telling me that Warren Brown was equally worthless. Because I always thought, and I even told Sarah, I was like, yeah, you know, I think my brother had Warren Brown. He would have probably, you know, but he wouldn't have had that. Like, remember that first trial, the jury was polled and said they would have found non-innocent.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and then my mom was like, oh, Warren Brown's worthless too. Because when he was doing the non's appeal, a non-call taught them, they were always taking the son to baseball. Always taking the son there. And he wanted half as much money as Gutierrez.
Yeah, I think with the war.
Some guy that interviewed Patrick Muhammad. He did interview him and he was, for defense. He actually wound up in the same boat as Gutierrez with the Maryland legal.
Did he really? Oh, wow. Yeah,
his name was like, there are people suing him for to get money back or something like that. I was just like, what?
That's a great group of people to choose from. That's really odd to me. I do think, though, a competent attorney would have cleaned the floor they would have wiped the floor with the state. You know, there was just nothing. I mean, you've got how hard, I mean, just something as simple as you've got the star witness saying the call came at 3:45 and they're saying she's dead by 2:36. I mean, that's it. That's the end of your case.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into anything else, but if you wanted to, you could.
I think the jury they were able to relate to Jane.
I think that was a big part of it.
Oh, that's my knucklehead nephew or that's my stupid brother or whatever versus, you know, the foreign kid who, you know, that stuff happens over there, like the one juror said. And, you know, if Asia was there, maybe they would have been able to relate to her. But,
right.
You know, right. It's funny how the jury selection, they were knocking out the young black males. Oh, strike! I think it was like one, you know, young black male on the prosecution of New York was like, nope, we want him striked.
That's interesting.
For jury selection. They can't have any young dudes.
All right, then I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I hope you are listening to our, I'm sure you are listening to the podcast.
Oh, absolutely, of course. definitely doing a good job.
Thanks so much. All right. I will. Do my Salam to everybody. Bye.
Yep.